That's yeah, that's gonna be easy. Let's hope that works. I usually start out my presentations by saying there's good news and bad news. This time, I'm going to leave out the good news part. Yeah, I'll only be half right this time. So get ready. Here we go. What I'm going to try to do is, in 15 minutes, give everyone a sense of where Pacifica stands financially, both this fiscal and next fiscal. And it's a roller coaster ride. Let me show you what we have. We have challenges, and you've all heard many people come to the podium looking for support, looking for funding, all worthy. And those challenges are, how do we find the financial means to support what we all know? Yeah, to support what we all know we need to do. How's that? You all heard the many times eloquent pleas that people have made about the support that they need at Pacifica, things we need to do, things that are not question marks, things that are essentials for us. There's the archives, the affiliates, the stations have needs, which we'll hear from later on. We have staffing needs. We need to do fundraising. Don't want to leave that off the list. We have technology needs, needs for research, needs for equipment, and needs for infrastructure. And we need to be able to develop capacity in this network to do radio, have the structure, the infrastructure to do radio, to keep up with modern technology. The national office has needs. We have capital and building needs. And we have a narrowing funding base where Democracy Now! Produces 25% of our revenue. In finance, a diversified funding base is essential. When you're too dependent on one source of revenue, you are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. What to do? First point to make is Pacifica's current finances are fragile. Right now, we're in a struggle with stations. As we talk to people about their budgets, the struggle for an affordable budget in FY08. If we don't come out of this process with an affordable budget, that is one we can afford, it'll be back to the good old bad old days when we had huge debts and was struggling to figure out how to pay them. We're at that point. I hate to be gloomy, but the facts are the facts. The station revenues are shrinking. Even the revenue that I've given to you in these preliminary budgets are too high in revenue. They will come down as stations realize you're not going to raise revenue $1 million more in FY08 than you raised in FY07. I expect that number to come down, and a lot of the stations know that their budgeted revenue, even in this preliminary budget, is too high. So we're going to drop $1 million in revenue, even from this preliminary budget. We're depleting our savings. The stations, in order to make the budget match in FY07, spending $220,000 of their savings just in order to make ends meet in FY07. In FY08, it will be worse. Stations are going to have to spend $332,000 of their savings in order to make FY08 budget work, even as presented. Even as it's presented now, they are presented with stations assuming that they're going to have to spend $300,000 of savings. Let me give you an idea. This network has been in business for almost 60 years, and we are planning to spend, of the $3 million or so we've accumulated, we have spent almost $1 million of those savings, which took 60 years to accumulate, in the last 3-4 years. 60 years took us to accumulate $3 million, and we spent a third of it in the last 3 or 4 years. That trend cannot continue. We're depleting our savings. No station in this preliminary budget has even budgeted one-half-month revenues. One-half-month. The board standard, the board requirement is 1 month. Why? Because you need the money the next month in order to pay the bills for that next month. Stations, as yet, have not even been able to budget one-half. With one exception, that would be WPFW. Over $500,000 in unbudgeted expenses are not even in the budget that's before you. $500,000 in unbudgeted expenses and not even in the budgets as presented. Where is that going to come from? We're going to look and have to assume that we're going to have to pay out legal. Many stations have not been able to budget for that anticipated legal. A minimum of $300,000, maybe $350,000. When we do settlements, when we decide we're going to defend any legal claim, that will cost us. So that's why I was asking our corporate attorney to give us an idea what that number might be. Salaries and consultant expenses in the national office might go up. Board budgets are not affordable. Since 2004, we spent $93,000 on board budget meetings. In 2004, we spent $93,000 on our quarterly meetings. That's up 98%. We need to reduce the meeting costs for our quarterly meetings. I've said it before. I'm saying it again. It costs $42 to do dinner here in this hotel.
It costs $42
to do dinner in a hotel. We have to go back to having local stations or volunteers or LSVs identify inexpensive places where we can hold our meetings. We have to go back to that. At least we have to have a year of trying it. If not, we will. There will be a rebellion. I cannot tell you the number of emails I've gotten from stations across in our network saying, don't please have the inability to make decisions result in layoffs at my station. People are afraid they're going to get laid off because we can't make the hard decisions. And some of them are. Some of them are. ADA expenses, you heard today what Francie said. We don't know yet. It's not in the budget. No station has budgeted for it. New types of expenses. Some folks have made passion pleas that we have volunteer programmers, and we have not paid any of the expenses for those volunteer programmers. And that is a number that we haven't and don't have in the budget. We just talked about $135,000 for PRA, and we don't have that number in the budget. You add these numbers up, we have a lot of expenses, or expenses we would like to be able to provide for. How will you do it? Oops, how did I get way down there? Yeah?
I mean, a budget is basically everything in the budget is are things we do not know about. We have an idea. We have an idea based on previous year. But, you know, the new stuff, you know, my question is why aren't they in the budget? I mean, we have to be able to put them in there and then, you know, increase the conservative, put them in there conservatively and then maybe increase or decrease them when the numbers come in. But they're not in the budget at all right now. So why not? I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, you generally want to put them in the budget when you can produce a balanced budget by doing so. Remember that our board constriction is that I wouldn't want to bring an unbalanced, heavily deficit budgets before the board. And no, the GMs don't want to do that either. So they're being conservative now and not putting expenses in the budget unless they can see where those expenses can be met. Right now, they're struggling with these very same expenses. All right, several stations are spending savings in 07. That is, KPFA will have to spend $200,000 of their savings in order to make their budget match in 07. In FY08, KPFA will have to spend $74,000, KPFK $100,000, KPFT $85,000, and WPFW $73,000. The total is $333,000 of station savings are in the current budget we have in order to make that budget even begin to balance to the sense of not even a half month for these stations. Let me slow it down.
Is that money actually being spent, or is that money being added into the budget to yield a surplus at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's money that they're adding into their budgets, most of them in order not to have a deficit budget on presentation for FY08. if you take out those savings, most of the stations would have deficits on their bottom line.
So they're actually spending part of that money. It's not just a matter of adding it to achieve the targeted surplus.
Right. That's the sad part. Okay. All right.
Because I want to make sure I understand this before you move on. So they're not even budgeting for a month's reserves. Surplus.
Right. Not even a month and not even a half month. Most of them can.
So the planning process, a budget is a planning process. So if they're not even planning to have those reserves, what's the point?
Well, this is the preliminary budget. So we're going to go back to the stations after we get a sense of what the whole looks like, after they've had an opportunity to rethink some of this stuff. Then you'll get the final budget in 2 weeks. After the LSBs have looked at it. Right now you're talking about budgets that have been generated largely by general managers. The LSBs have not seen most of these budgets. The LSBs will have a look and they'll have the same reaction I do. This is not working. And they may very well have their own standards about what's a viable budget and what's not. So they won't finish. The LSBs for most of the stations won't be finished with looking at the budgets until August 6th, August 7th. Three LSBs aren't meeting until the first week in August. So we have a ways to go, and obviously lots of work to do. What this exercise is about is giving you, the PNB, an idea of what the struggles are in these budgets before you are confronted with them in September. So you get a sense of what the struggles are right now. So these preliminary budgets, my conclusion, are in bad shape and need a lot of work, and most LSBs have not seen them. What does it mean? It means we'll have layoffs in these budgets, even in the bad shape they're in, of $242,000 at two stations. Two stations will have layoffs in these budgets. WBAI and KPFA. Two stations have planned to do force reductions in even these budgets. That would be WBAI and that would be KPFA. Even with a flat expense budget, stations will have to use savings to balance the budgets. I've made that point. No station will have even 1 month operating surplus. And despite all these efforts, we do need to do more. The outlook for next fiscal FY08, the network is in serious financial difficulty. With a bad driver, too, we will have a crash in December 2007. That is to say, at least one station will not be able to meet payroll. Unless the October drives or some other intervening factor, like a large gift. But right now, that's how it's looking. And when one station has a bad drive and there are no reserves at other stations, then what tends to happen is the board and I as CFO will have to look around to see how we can help sister stations. And that may mean how do we avoid not only layoffs but not being able to meet payroll. And that one station will not be able to meet payroll. Two units will be spending the last of their savings in next fiscal year. That would be WBAI has no reserves and no savings. National Office has no reserves. KPFK in next year's budget is using 100,000 of their 175,000 savings. That is, they will be out of savings next fiscal. So we need to think outside the box. We need to think revenue. We need to come up with new answers. Right now, on paper, we're not going to make it next year. Two stations in the national office will be dealing with layoffs. I anticipate that. All stations will be asked to pitch in to pay payrolls if sister stations aren't able to meet basic expenses and certainly payroll. Final, what's to be done? Recommendation. The minimum we need to do is hold expenses to FY07 levels so that we don't create new expenses that we, in fact, haven't identified the revenue to pay for. That's prudent. That's standard in finance. No new staffing costs. That is, we can't commit to new staffing costs unless we identify the revenue to pay for it. And that's a rule that the board already has, which is to say no new expenses unless you've identified the revenue to pay for it. I think we should maintain the one-month rule. These budgets should go back to the stations. They should work at these budgets and try to get closer to 1 month. Why? Because if they do not, they will not be able to pay their bills, and there will be payroll issues. They have to have another look at it and think outside the box. They need a contingency fund. We've gone in this network where stations have a bad drive, but they don't have any money set aside for the contingency of a bad drive. Reserves used to be there, and they could say, well, I have reserves against the bad drive. Well, as you see, those reserves are shrinking. So now, this next year, they have to plan for a bad drive in a year where the reserves are shrinking or gone away for many stations. We have to have revenue initiatives. I've proposed at least 15 in my CFO report. We are going to move ahead to try to find revenue. That is absolutely essential. I'm saying that every unit, every station, every person, every member, everybody has to think revenue. This is the year to do it. Brilliant ideas, welcome. Must come up with out-of-the-box revenue ideas. I come up with a few samples. I've stuck my neck out and put them in writing. You might want to do some as well. We have eight recombining resources. We have eight different newscasts in this network. That is an unconscionable duplication of effort. We can't, these are luxuries now that we have sort of been able to do, but have to be re-looked at now because we are not able to do them in the same old way. We have eight different newscasts. We have five local newscasts at the stations. We have Democracy Now! We have Free Speech Radio News, and we have national specials. Some mornings when I'm listening, I hear some of the same stories on 5, 6, 7 of those newscasts. And Spanish, I guess. We can't afford to take $1.2, $3 million and duplicate the effort the same way. We must rethink it to see if we can combine some of those resources to save money and produce a quality product. We have to reduce board expenses. I have mentioned that. We need to look at stakeholder collaborations, and I'll end on this note. The freestanding station that can raise money without having to collaborate with other organizations, without having to think about the community supports, thinking it has to fund every effort that they make, is over. We cannot see ourselves as freestanding individual units. They're not financially viable. We have to think, now, what have we been doing? We have been doing it on the national level with progressive organizations, mailing to them, saying support progressive radio, support progressive programming, and telling them what we're going to do with their money and trying to deliver on those promises. I'm saying the stations haven't done as much as that. They need to look to stakeholders in the community who can support their collaborative efforts and save money in the process. If we do not, we'll die individually as opposed to. We do have some bright spots, and I will close on this. The BBP possibility has revenue possibilities. I certainly want to explore that. I'm going to finish with this last slide. We are doing yearly fundraisings with WPFW. I'm suggesting that every year for the next 5 years, each station be the host station to do a network-wide fundraising event to be broadcast where the host station will be the beneficiary. WPFW is the first one around for the anniversaries. Turns out each station is having an anniversary over the next 5 years, 30th, 40th, 35th, 50th, 60th. That is a way of attracting listeners. It is a way of raising money. And if we do on a national level have some big names plus some local celebrities, we think that it will work. We are way into the planning program at W, and we think that we can raise $250,000. I think we need to get back to a practice we used to have of doing on-air pitching at the beginning and end of our specials, asking listeners to say, support programming of this sort at Pacifica. We did it before. We didn't break into the affiliates time. We raised $18,000 on those specials. We did the Roberts hearing and raised $18,000 doing pitching that way. We need to at least think about instituting that where it is appropriate. We need to look at e-commerce. That is, I have more complaints and hear more complaints about listeners saying, I didn't get my premiums. We need to simply have a web process where listeners can go get their premiums off and pay for those premiums on our websites. Simple, easy. And we did it at WBAI 3 years ago. It raised $60,000. That is a source of revenue. We need new national programming that produces revenue, finds an audience, and can be self-sustaining. Election year bump, we did at one point raise money to pay offset some election year. I'm sorry, this is election year bump 2007 and 2008. That is to say, we are, as a network, traditionally able to attract more listeners and raise more revenue during election years. This is not an election year, but it's the same thing. We're starting early. The primaries will be over by February. By February, the more or less with Super Tuesday, we will know who those nominees are. We can raise money during this window, the election year window. We did it with Iraqi 1. We did it with Iraqi 2. And we did it with election 04 and elections 06. We need to look to raise. We will get more listeners during the election year. We must be prepared to capture those listeners when they show up on our websites and with a plan. But these are not sure and they're not enough. So I'm saying that I will help every unit, any LSB that wants to raise money. We have some techniques that have worked for us. We are raising $1.1 million at the national office. We have a mailing list. Happy to share it. Have ideas, happy to work with you. We need to collaborate with the stations, as I'm suggesting the stations do in the community, and share the resources because that will make those resources go further. Bottom line, we have work to do. We have work to do between now and the finalization of these budgets, August 20th or so. That will be our last chance to produce budgets that will work for us next year. Anyway, that's a quick summary.
You're welcome.
Okay, so the report's open for discussion. Mary? Actually, if board members want to get back so they're near their microphones, that'd be nice.
You missed a slide. I wanted to request while you're looking at that you would send this out to us. You have done that in the past. And so, you know, I saw our KPFA budget. We had our meeting last Saturday. I remember that we had over a month surplus, and you're saying no station has even half a month. And I didn't bring that budget with me, but it was pretty carefully prepared, and it was a very extensive and detailed thing, and I'm puzzled by that.
Yes, I can go over it with you. But let me just say that the Finance Committee did review the budget. They're making these recommendations. All FYO budgets must be balanced. Oh, here they are. These recommendations are that Pacifica will hold all expenditures in FY08 to FY07 levels. Pacifica will not hire any new staff in FY08, holding salary expenses to FY07 levels. And Pacifica will accumulate a small contingency fund, and that we will focus on revenue activities in FY08. And the ED and the CFO will monitor WBIA revenue and recovery in FY08. Those are going to be the recommendations. But yes, I wanted to point that out, Mary, because it's not easy to see in those budgets what's going on, especially if you don't look closely down in that cash and capital section. And I can show you what I mean if you like. Yes, we do. Stations have, when we get down to the bottom line, often stations cannot balance those budgets and must borrow from savings. At least balance them to the board's specifications, which is 1 month. And many of them can't do 1 month without borrowing. So you take out that borrowing, they don't have the half month even, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So it is tough year. As I say, though, this is the preliminary. We're not finished with it. But right now, that's how it's looking. I'll bring up the budgets. That's how it's looking. And I'll show you what I mean for KPFA. KPFA has a budget, and I don't know what was presented to the LSB, but the last one I had was for $153,000, yeah. Bottom line. But you notice up here, $74,000. Oops, what happened? $74,000 is coming from prior year savings. That number right there.
Okay.
It's too, yeah, let me, oh, I can blow it up. Hold on. I'll blow it up.
Okay.
There it is.
Oh, okay.
I'll blow it up. So $74,000 the station has had to borrow from prior year. And KPFA does have prior year savings, so it's not the end of the world. But the point is that in its budgeting process, you take out the $74,000 away from that $153,000, it's $79,000. Expenses per month in that budget, $359,000. So that's where, and when KPFA, which is a station that has reserves, is now needing to use those reserves to balance the budget for a fiscal year, you know, that's nervous making.
Okay.
Just a couple of clarifying questions. Are there any unanticipated, or not unanticipated, but any potential revenue sources such as bequests or anything like that? It's not on there? That are not included in your calculations at this point.
Yeah.
That's one, you know, that might change this picture as it did last year.
Yeah, last year we were very lucky. We got, I think, almost $1 million in gifts. You'll notice that the donation line, it went from $1,088,000 down to $888,000. And I think the board cautioned, and I agree, that you can't budget on that gifts that might come in.
But
so
my question is basically, are there some gifts that you also can anticipate will come in during the next period of time?
They have all, the ones I know about have come in already. They usually come in by April. So this year is pretty slim, and we've only gotten 300,000.
So there's nothing additional that you're expecting in the next 3 to 6 months?
No, nothing.
Okay.
I have.
Uh-huh.
I wish.
And the other question is that there are, on your set of proposals, there are a couple of things that get bandied about, and I'm just wondering whether you want to comment on them, because you mentioned, you know, it's bad to be dependent on, you know, one revenue stream.
Yes.
You know, I know this is considered heresy by some people, but you haven't mentioned, for example, the question of whether, since collaborations are being discussed, whether you think underwriting should be considered.
As an additional
revenue source, whether you think that advertising on websites should be considered, and whether you think leasing of sub-channels such as HD channels or some other kind of income strategy relating to the emergence of HD could also change this picture.
Thanks for that question. There were three items in there. I think the network has to look at underwriting as a source of revenue that we have not in the past taken seriously. However, when I did the research, that's not true. Pacifica has had underwriting with its folio at almost all the stations. Someone brought in, I saw it when I was at the PRA archives, and Nalini brought in some of the actual folios. Suggestion, look at underwriting. We're looking at it with the DC event because we have a program, and we can ask supporters of WPFW to take out ads in our program, and underwriting can happen that way. We have done it with folios. I think we can look at it, make sure that it fits our profile, that it fits our mission, that it's with organizations that we share values with. But I think it has been done before. I'm suggesting where stations want to try it, that the board should not prohibit it, and let them see if that can raise their revenue profile. HD, I didn't even mention that. Well, as I've said before, renting out signals or signal area, signal frequency for stations is something stations should look at, and they should be able to keep the revenue because we all need to find revenue. So some stations are doing that. The only problem with it is that that market is not working out and shrinking. Right now we have one vendor who is not paying us because he's not able to make the proposition pay that is renting out our frequency. The third one you mentioned was?
I'm talking about advertising on websites.
Websites.
You know, considering that digital distribution is increasing and we would assume that traffic on websites will continue to increase, and we're not restricted from doing that.
Yeah, I think that is something we should also look at. By the way, when I was talking with Brian about the BBC opportunity, BBC, he had quoted us having 7 million internet listeners. I was thinking that if we had a few promos along with the use of our program that could direct listeners to Pacifica or to our five stations or to our affiliates, that would be a gold mine. And I was saying, don't let the lady leave until we talk that over. That's worth it. Even if it's a 2-inch banner that says brought to you by Pacifica Radio and the five stations and a button that can these BBC listeners can check us out, that can be a boon to us. But I say we move ahead and see what the possibilities are.
Evelyn.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Evelyn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
If I'm not mistaken, we started talking about doom and gloom in Houston. And you presented to us that we were going to have serious shortfalls if we didn't do something differently. And we were going to start looking at developing different revenue streams. And when we say we need to start looking at it, I want us to get more specific in terms of who exactly is looking at it. Because every time we do this, it's we're going to look at it. We need to name somebody. Because when you start talking about we're going to be laying people off, we started talking about this at Houston. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen anybody looking at it. And I'm just one PNB member, and maybe I'm not in the loop. I don't know. But I need to be, because we keep talking about this. And there are various things we could be doing other than waiting on people to find us on the dial. If we don't start to actively let somebody know where we are, they're not going to just show up one day because, you know, we have great programming. We need to have a strategic plan in terms of what that's going to be. And I don't see us doing that. And maybe it's because we don't know how to do it, and we need a development person that's designated at every station. And we talked about this, talked about getting all of our development people together. That, to my knowledge, has not happened.
Well, let me fill you on what happened since Houston. We did follow through. What we were talking about was working with the stations to share mailing lists, to share skill sets. We did it with WBAI. We sent out 100,000 piece mailing with them, trying to raise new revenue. Wanted to do it with Houston. It didn't work out because your fund development person left. But we are going to do. Yeah, but Robin has agreed to do a joint mailing with the national office in September. So we follow through on that. Also, we're working with WPFW, as I say, to raise funds using their anniversary and capital campaign as a way to attract listeners and a way to raise money. So,
okay, I understand what you're saying.
Evelyn, we've got a lot of people.
I know. Can I just finish this, please? Because this is not a joke. This is like really, really serious. And we don't seem to be making any real progress in terms of raising some major levels of money, because a few thousand dollars here and there is not going to do it. And maybe not out of this meeting, on a phone conference, something. Some financial people need to get on the phone and figure out a serious way to get this done.
I think the board ought to have a special meeting to do finances and fundraising.
All right.
That's what we ought to do, where every idea, every thought, invite listeners to suggest ideas.
Well, we need to get organized first.
We got to start somewhere. And I would ask that the board endorse the idea of having a finance-only and revenue-only board meeting. Otherwise, we'll all be fighting with one another over money. And there will be bitter disappointments. But if we do put our heads together, and I'm saying the next two or three weeks, that we have a finance-only board meeting where we can go around and have each station identify issues, financial issues, where our needs, that need list, where somebody can take responsibility.
Name a person.
Okay. Next person is LaVarne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just try to be brief. You know, we need to understand where we got to this point, how we got here. And just briefly, since this board became a governing board with accountability, I have been fighting, and a number of other people, to get transparency, to get access to information. And the major thing, as we're talking about, which is unpleasant for everyone, is to reduce headcount. So how did headcount get to the level where it is? Because we were stonewalled, not allowed to see headcount. I was in a meeting on Thursday, and I was told that to look at this headcount, meaning look at the employees by name on a quarterly basis, is a political thing. It's not a control thing. It's not an accountability thing. It's a political thing. And as long as you have that attitude and people who you try to explain that looking at your employees on a monthly basis, just show us how many you have, FTEs, how many staff, and then on a quarterly basis, you need to say, see, who has come in and out of that station or that national office, and there should be some accountability to that. And until you can understand that as a basic tool in finance, you are going to be lost. You will get to a position which we're at now, which is very unpleasant. It hurts the foundation. It hurts the people in the foundation. So until you can grasp that simple concept, you will continue to have the issues and you'll continue to spiral downward. You know, you cannot allow failure to be the model. You have to have success as a model. And as Lonnie said, he can say this, I have been pushing this meeting to have this meeting, a finance meeting, so that we can sit there and talk about all the initiatives and understand that you do that as part of your budgeting tool. You do that so you can understand what you can do, where your resources are.
Two minutes.
Thank you. So let me just wrap up. And the whole point is that, you know, you must, and in terms of forecast and revenue, you know, donations or listener support, you know, listener support is generated by both paid and unpaid staff. So you're going to have to, you know, you're looking at that, and I support this motion, but you're going to have to recognize that the unpaid staff, you're going to have to, if those expenses are there now, you're going to have to put them in a line item, because you're going to have to support that, because those people are out there generating revenue. And as far as major donations, just 1 minute, please. 30 seconds. And as far as donations, you cannot predict when someone is going to die. So you cannot, you know, it's not like we have that little cat that comes up and crawls in someone's lap to let you know when they're going to die. You cannot forecast that. You can only forecast listener support, and you can't forecast it at the same level that you enjoyed this year. And I have been pushing this too. And KPFA,
3 minutes.
Okay, let me just explain. KPFA has a complete package that shows the people by name what their salaries are. The LSB gets this, and they are assured not to share this information with anyone, and that's what we've done. So, again, we have to get those tools in place. People have to understand it so that we don't get to this position where we have to let people go, because that is unpleasant for the foundation. It's unpleasant for the people first. Thank you.
Does the board want to enforce a 2-minute time limit on speakers?
Yes.
Everyone else is 7 minutes.
Okay. Next person is Chandra.
You know, it's very nice to be in this fancy hotel, but I remember when I was on the local advisory board, and we had the funkiest meetings, and they were the best. We housed board members in people's homes. We had meals donated by local restaurants or people cooked them. We met in community centers. What are we doing here? This is not Pacifica, and it wouldn't cost us so much money. So I think we have to go back to the olden days in terms of board meetings, for one thing. We don't live high on the hog. Why are we spending our listeners' money in the Marriott Hotel? Please. The other comment that I want to make, and I've said this before, and I'll probably have to keep saying it. Why don't we do things to reach out to more listeners, to bring in more listeners?
Thank you.
It's a wedding or a funeral?
How I long for yesterday. Hey, hey, hey.
KPFA now has a volunteer coordinator. I'm excited about this. I hope we're going to be working together collaboratively to get listeners out to events, to publicize KPFA for many years. Will you please keep the door closed and not let anybody else in or out? Ask nicely, please.
The violins are making us nervous.
Please.
Even counting the pauses, that was 2 minutes. I mean, even not counting the pauses.
Okay. We have to reach out to more listeners. In the progressive community, we're not targeting the listeners that are out there. We're not getting them. There are many ways to go out there and get them. We have to publicize. We have to do what we have to do. The affiliate program is a perfect example. They put together this beautiful brochure, and they're out there, and they're making the name of Pacifica known. We have to do
with the
other stations as well.
Thank you, Bob.
Two questions and a few comments. On Lonnie, does Pacifica have any endowment left? And if so, how much?
The endowment we have is approximately $400,000, and that's shared by three entities, the National Office, KPFA, and a little money for KPFK.
Okay, and that's separate from the savings you described, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Savings, I mean cash. So
okay.
The investments are separate. That's called an investment in our balance sheet.
Okay. In the proposal from the Finance Committee that Pacifica not hire any new staff and hold salary expenses to the current year levels, at WBAI, where there was to have been a development director hired in January, but in fact no one has been hired, would that position be able to be continued, since that would obviously be a net revenue generator, assuming the person was successful?
Well, you know, hiring a position like a fund developer is taking a calculated risk. Many times fund developing people... My mic is on. Many times fund development people don't raise money in the first year, so they are a net loss. So you can take the risk and hire them and say, well, if we'll get a person who can really, really be, do well. But the catch was that at the WBAI, you're not going to get any decent fund developer for $60,000 a year. And you have to at least go $75,000, $80,000. And the station was unable to locate those funds. That's the conundrum right now.
Okay, three quick comments. The I support very much the idea of a special PNB call to focus on finance and fundraising. I think that's vital. And I wanted to ask if the National Office can consider looking at the job descriptions of everyone to see, because I think Evelyn made a good point, that there needs to be a point person for fundraising. And I know, Lonnie, you've done a lot of that work kind of above and beyond the call of duty, but there should be somebody that's part of their job description. And also the consideration of consultants. There's a lot of professional people out there who raise a lot of money for a fee, and maybe that's a way without getting into commissions that we could successfully have major events with big names or whatever that can raise large sums of money.
Okay, yeah. Wait, we're at time now. Are we going to extend this conversation? No, I mean the whole item, the finance report, is over now. Is there a motion to extend time?
I move to extend time. How many people are left on the stack?
Margaret wanted to speak.
I wanted to speak.
You wanted to speak. Ray? Thomas, Sarv, I would like to say something as well. Rip?
15 minutes.
Okay, there's a motion to extend by 15 minutes. Is there a second? Is there any objection? Before we proceed, I'm going to make an editorial point, which is I think we run our budgets the way we budget our time in our meetings. It's very similar, which is on every item we go over, and we allow ourselves to go over instead of exercising discipline when it hurts and all being as efficient as we can with every bit of time. I'm as guilty as anybody, but it's something to look at.
Point of information, right, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Would a motion to have an all-finance PNB meeting be in order at this time? Is that something
we can
tomorrow?
Do it tomorrow in new business when we schedule our next meeting. Lydia's next.
In terms of the underwriting, over the years, there are a number of issues that affect that. FCC, if you're talking about underwriting and on-air announcements, 501c3 status, there are a number of things. So before just throwing out underwriting and let's just individually decide whether they meet they're in keeping with the mission statement, may we have in writing an opinion from the appropriate Council on Entities of the guidelines. As I recall, it's very point specific, not political stuff, you know, just all kinds of other things over and above the general concept of the mission. So we want to be really careful. We shouldn't just run out and see who we could get to underwrite things.
Actually, we do have from John Krigler in writing his opinion on it. Yeah. Yeah, Eva has a copy, as a matter of fact. She does. Yeah, and she did it yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, and he wrote back. So we do have a legal opinion on it.
By the way, I just got a letter from someone. If I open this and something bad happens to me, sorry, if you'll take over the meeting. Margaret?
Clearly we are in a major financial crisis. And there's a lot of talk about what we need to do. And I think we have to address that proverbial we. Because I've been quite struck since I've been on the national board, which is, you know, a relatively new member now, a half year, and also the local station board, is that I have seen very little effort on the part of those of us, and I'll include myself in that, who are board members, to take responsibility for fundraising for this foundation and for this network that we all claim is so precious. So when we say we, who is that we supposed to be? Is it supposed to be Lonnie? Is it supposed to be Greg? Is it supposed to be LaVarne as chair of the finance committee? I mean, this we has got to be each and every one of us sitting around this table and those of us in the audience who are members of local station boards. We cannot continue to spend our time fighting with each other over power struggles, you know, and this and that, and spending a whole set of time, you know, frankly, that I don't know where it gets us. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of making sure that this foundation is fiscally sound, there is very little practical action. And I see no reason why, as a Pacifica National Board, we cannot get into the business of organizing fundraising events, trying to solicit celebrities, whoever we can, on the local station level, on the national level, to fundraise for this foundation. Because it's not simply a question of coming here and making a political football out of it and pointing a finger of who is responsible. We're all responsible. This belongs to us. The buck stops with us. So when we talk about we, that, you know, that we has to include all of us. Now, that's not to say that a lot of very good work isn't going on this board and the finance committee and other committees of people really trying to sort out what's what. And from one overworked person, I want to be the last person to be suggesting taking on more work, but I am suggesting that we take on more work, that we take on that responsibility of ourselves, seeing what we can do to raise money for the station and to support each other. We tried that at the local station board. I came in as a little naive new board member and thought that part of my job was to fundraise and organize an event, convince Danny Glover to come in to do it. We had it in South Los Angeles. It was a wonderful event celebrating the 200th anniversary of the first black republic in the world. It got no support from the board. Two members that supported it. And that was the end of that story. So when we talk about fiscal responsibility, let's get practical and cut the rhetoric and get down to doing the work.
Thomas.
One thing, what concerns me about this whole thing about how we deal with our long-term and short-term management of expenditures within Pacifica is that it arises from, in my view, bad management by the board and by the national office. Now, I'm not saying anybody in particular, but I'm saying as a collective, at least in this year, since I've been on the board, we've done a terrible job at managing the long-term and short-term expenditures for Pacifica. Lonnie's given us these warnings at each meeting, and I find that we haven't dealt with them properly. And in fact, what I've noticed is that every time we get into a discussion about how to better manage short-term and long-term expenditures, we turn the subject around and begin to talk about how Pacifica can bring more money in through fundraising. In other words, we deal with our expenditure problems by talking about how to be better at revenue. We have an expenditure problem. We certainly have problems with revenue. We could be more effective. But we have serious problems in managing our expenditures, and we duck that issue. Lonnie keeps bringing it back to us. He could probably bring more to us by maybe outlining more about how we could deal with it. Maybe he's done all he can, but we duck it, and we deliberately duck it. One other thing that comes to my mind is that keeping expenses low, however, isn't necessarily a panacea for Pacifica. That's essential, but I know from my experience at WPFW, keeping expenses low has led to mediocre and worse programming. That's not good, and also mediocre management. Now, that's not something to applaud, but it's a fact, and Rob knows it. And so what I noticed that the quality of our management is such that we tolerate whatever suits our interests. So if we can spend more and that suits our interests and we can accommodate that with bad management, we don't deal with fundamental problems that we need to address.
It's time. I'd like to speak. You know, when we these things happen, we talk about, oh, we should raise a little more money, or oh, why are we in a hotel? And those things are important. Those monies are not trivial. But I want to address the KPFA, LSB's resolutions about the essence is what's being done with our central services money. Total central services for the entire network last year, according to this budget, was $2.2 million. Hold on just a moment. Let me, on the order of 2.26, I think it is, $2.26 million. Salaries and related, just for the national office, $1.2 million. Insurance expenses, $205,000. Democracy Now, $560,000. Satellite fee, $57,000. And our contribution to Pacifica Radio Archive, which we all recognize is inadequate, which Bryant has told them, they give $208,000. Just those items, PRA, Democracy Now, the satellite, insurance fees, and salaries and related, exceed the total amount of central services around the whole network by $12,000. Okay? So we could eliminate the $170,000 in board expenses per year, and we could up our fundraising by $100,000 per year, and you still don't cover any of the administrative expenses, the whole section of the national office budget, you don't cover it. Not on administrative expenses, the whole section on development, okay? The whole section on programming, other than Democracy Now, you don't cover it. These are structural issues, and the problem is around the network, we don't have the ability to make any structural change. Nobody, this governance structure and our political structure internally gives everybody in the whole network negative leverage, and nobody has positive leverage to make any change. So we can do this all we want, but until we're ready to step back, and by the way, as a board, not spend five consecutive meetings on five consecutive Fridays for 5 hours each, dealing with an issue that in the scheme of things is trivial, okay? Until we can't get beyond that, we can't do anything, and we're just kidding ourselves. So we have a deep structural problem with our model, okay? And all those costs are going to escalate, because salary costs and benefits costs are going to escalate. We're struggling with revenue because listenership is going everywhere else. And our pitch that you can't hear this anywhere else, which used to be one of the strongest and most important components of our pitches, is just simply not true anymore. So until we're ready to, and that means everybody, that means being willing to give up some part of something you really care about, is willing to step back and say, you know what, we're going to look at this structurally. We're nowhere. Time. And we need, thank you. Ray, go ahead.
Yes, indeed, we're in a difficult situation. I'd like to agree with some of what I heard earlier, that just the same way that the CFO is no more individually responsible for the situation than he would deserve kudos. If we had about $5 million more than we have now, he could not have done it alone. I think if I look at them, I think he's going to take controlling expenses and focusing on local areas and raising monies. There's an NPR station in New York
which raises a huge amount of money. And the way it does it, it has a much larger listenership than we have. And better than that, the proportion of people who are contributing is much higher, and maybe what they are contributing. And I think that's part of what we have to look at. In terms of what Margaret said about our own sustainability, actually a local board member told me, well, I'm doing enough for WBA. I don't want to be asked to raise any more money. So with that kind of attitude, that's part of what we're doing. At WBA, we laid off our outreach coordinator. And I personally believe that we have to link raising more funds with getting more members. That these things are not inseparable. Actually, personally, I would prefer raising money that way. In a way similar to the Obama situation. I'd rather raise $20 from 100,000 people than raising the same amount of money from 20 wealthy individuals. Because that's real outreach. And I think, and also we do not have a development coordinator. And so I think that I again also support the notion of sitting together and having a meeting specifically about how to move forward and bring the finance of this organization to an acceptable level of functioning. And that I'm personally saying that one of the ways to do it is to look locally.
I just want to be sure that everyone who hasn't spoken yet gets to say something. Rib?
Thank you. I'd just like to talk about three things that I've heard here. One is that as an outsider, last March was my first meeting, and we were here in L.A. And I wasn't saying much at that time. But what I did say when I reviewed the financial data and listened to the report from the CFO is I spoke to impending conditions here at the foundation that were very obvious to me as a manager of a station where I do the budgets at my station as well. And looking at these numbers, I did speak at that time and mentioned that there were some serious impending problems that the CFO was pointing out. And what I had remembered so much about that meeting where everyone was so generous to me as a new member, as they are to most new members every year, it's a very cordial group when we're first meeting until we get into the business. But the CFO came up to me during a break and said, thank you for pointing out these facts, because he said, this stuff is not being recognized by the board. And he'd been here for years. I was new. And then in September, when we saw the budget for this fiscal year, what I commented on was the tremendous trending of increase in salaries and positions at stations. And what I commented on was that if stations had some self-discipline in order to keep expenses down, and I know Thomas hates it when I say this, but I agree with him on this point. Okay? And as I did earlier today, because we do agree on so much, that if the stations could keep their spending in check, they would not be in this financial problem. And when I mentioned that in September, and it's on the recording on KPFTX, I was booed audibly by members of the board, who obviously were from stations where they wanted to keep, they did not want to exercise that kind of discipline. And so what I would say is that there needs to be some discipline that does not translate from this board back to the stations. At the individual stations, they are not getting this message. They're not here. And that's why while I applaud the call idea, I really don't think that the directors who are here at the PNB have any authority back at their own stations. And they're not able to exercise the discipline that the CFO is calling for. And my last comment has to do with Ray's comment about letting go the outreach person at their station. I'd like to say that the success of the affiliates program is due, in fact, to outreach. And that's why the affiliates program is gaining revenues slowly, and it's a drop in the bucket to the overall budget. But that's the success formula that Ursula has, and I encourage it to be employed at every station.
Okay, Bertolt.
I'll be short. I'm from BAI, and basically I used to listen to the station 24/7. I used to listen to the station 24/7. I have not listened to the station this past 6 months. So what does that tell you? You know, we keep talking about fundraising. You know, I'm not sure I can be convincing you know, doing fundraising if I'm not sure that what I'm sending these people to is some quality programming where there's debate instead of, you know, like, you know, people just renting. And so, you know, we are always afraid of saying that because it's a critic of program directors, general managers, or whatever it is. But the point of the fact is that our programming has gone down. The quality, the issues we are dealing with, we do not have debate. So, and therefore, we are losing audience. You know, we get caught up in those little thing, little, you know, everybody has their little point they're pushing. And so I personally have a lot of ideas about fundraising that I've spoken to some producers in New York, and they do not feel the energy to do these things. And also the board does not really, never mind.
Michael.
I'll be brief. I don't know about going out and getting big money, and I'm not a fundraiser, although I think I can do it by nature. I know that when we have an attractive product, I agree with Berthold, the listeners will come to the stations, and we will be self-sustaining through membership, as Ray was suggesting, when we have an attractive product. We have cash cows. They are called radio stations. They're licenses at KPFT. We could broadcast dead air and average 15,000 a day, and we're not making it. Now, you know, if we needed to start from scratch, we could do it, but we've got encumbrances. But we need to have an attractive product that brings especially the youth to us.
Okay, we're at time on this discussion, and it's obviously going to be something that's going to take a much greater allocation of our effort, and I think tomorrow we'll consider a motion to have a meeting exclusively on this point. Whether that meeting also leads to a whole bunch of action that we continue to support remains to be seen, and let's hope so. Thanks, Lonnie.